Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hello, everybody. It's a great Sunday today, and today I think I have a really good show for all the people who are at home with a loved one with Alzheimer's and trying to figure out the dreaded question, how do I get my loved one to bathe? I don't know why this always becomes an issue, but it absolutely does. And I think today I can offer you some good techniques and strategies for making that happen. So one of the big issues of why people don't like to bathe when they have Alzheimer's is because, first of all, it's a private activity. When do we ever have somebody in the shower or bathtub with us unless it's a mate?
That's right.
Right? But not only that, as the occipital lobe in the back of your head gets affected with the disease, it changes the way you see things, okay? And also the amygdala, which tells you whether something's hot or cold, whether you should be fearful or not fearful, things like that, becomes damaged and impaired. And when that happens, they get very, very afraid of water, especially water in the shower coming down in their face. That doesn't work very well for people, and they get freaked out by it, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and they can't tell the difference of whether or not the water is hot or if it's cold, and then it becomes a dangerous situation.
Okay? Yeah, it does, yeah.
Yeah, and then the trifecta part of that is the number of steps involved in going to the bathroom and taking off all of your clothes and getting the bath or the shower ready becomes very difficult. Takes way too many steps to get that done. We've talked about that on past shows, right?
Yeah, that is. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple. So here's my idea.
I'm interested. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people should, first of all, never start trying to bathe a person unless you know the way they like to be bathed. First thing on your list should be, do they like a shower or do they like a bath? Second thing, do they like it in the morning or do they like it in the evening? Okay. And what water temperature do they like? I personally like very hot baths. I like very hot showers. So that becomes a great big issue, right?
Is it too hot?
Right.
I feel like, yeah.
Okay. Now, to begin, once you have that information, start looking at when do I approach that person? The answer is when they are calm, when they are content. If you're sitting and looking at a photo album, you've just gone for a walk and you've enjoyed it. You've had a nice meal and that person's laughing and enjoying their day. Okay? That's a great time to say, hey, you know what? Why don't we get cleaned up and we can go out for another walk or we can go, you know, for a drive just to see the scenery or something like that. But let's get cleaned up. Okay? Walk that person to the bathroom. And before you do that, if they seem like they're ready to go, then say, you want to come with me for a minute? Let's throw some towels in the dryer just for, you know, a minute or two or five, just so they can warm up. Sit and talk with them about how nice they look or how pretty they're going to look when everything's done with the grooming. Talk about the new lilac soap that you just bought. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And how good it's going to smell. And while they're in the dryer, ask them to watch the timer on the dryer for just a minute. You go in the bathroom, turn on the shower, turn on the bathtub water, whatever you need to do, and get it going. Make sure you have a change of clothes and several towels and washcloth and hand towels in there. And by the time they walk in and you guide them in there, they're holding a warm towel. They're ready to go. And you get them in there and make sure everything's not the same color. If your bathtub is white, your bench in the shower and the tub is white, put a colored towel on it, not a dark one. They might think they're going to fall, but put a colored towel like a peach one or something so it's soft and it's warm for them. And when you get them in the bathtub, have them just sit down and enjoy what you're getting ready to do. Okay, does that make sense?
That sounds great.
Yeah. And so if you can get that already, Then once they get in there, you can help them start to undress and ask them, do you need my help? Do you just want to do it yourself? And if they say they can do it themselves, let them get started. If they can't do it, then say, you know what? Might be easier if I could help you lift this shirt off like this and let's get your arm through. But you're using a calm voice. You're using a gentle approach, right? If you're rushing that person, they're not going to want to complete this task. And it's not going to work, right?
That sounds great.
Yeah. So those are the types of things that you can do to get started. Once you sit them down in the shower or the bath, and let's take a shower as the first example, what you'll do is say, okay, how's the water temperature? Does it feel okay? If it doesn't feel okay, or it needs to be warmer, or it needs to be colder, you can adjust it there. And then start at their feet, okay? And just get their feet wet, start going up their leg a little bit, and make sure you have those extra towels handy so you can just reach and grab them, because if they get cold, just put one around their shoulders, okay? If they're worried about their private parts being covered, you could take a towel and wrap it around, tuck it in. I think we've all done that at one time or another. If it won't stay, use a safety pin, okay? And make sure their private parts are covered. What difference does it make if that towel gets wet? Throw it in the dryer when you're done, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to get wet.
It's a simple way to do it. And then once you start bathing them, very slowly, hand them a washcloth that is soapy and say, can you do this? Would you like to wash your leg? And if they can't do it, then just put it in their hand, sort of guide them and get them started, and then just say, what a good job you're doing. That's awesome. Doesn't that feel good? Oh, I love it when hot water hits me in the shower. I love the smell of this soap. I love this bubble bath. And maybe you've done a few things to set the mood in the room. Maybe you put some LED candles or something somewhere.
How about
in the room.
Some music?
Music, light music, and a genre that they like.
Yeah, especially something that they like.
Yeah, if it's jazz, classical, country, whatever it is, right? Just so they enjoy it. I know I enjoy music when I take a bath.
I do. I turn on the radio.
Right, right. So all these things can help. If you try to do it when you're in a hurry, you're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting the person up for failure who is trying to get that bath done, right? Yeah. And sometimes you have to be a little bit creative. I had a lady one time that I was trying to help a caregiver bathe her. And the woman said, it looks like it's raining. And I said, do you have galoshes and an umbrella? And she said, yes. So I said, okay, wait a second. Before you get in, and I had her sit right there, I ran to a little closet that she had. I grabbed an umbrella and a pair of galoshes, and I had her put them on. And she stepped in the shower and was holding that. And I said, make like you're a five-year-old and stomp around. And she did. And all of a sudden, she started having fun. We were laughing. She was enjoying it. And we took that as a cue to get her to start bathing.
That sounds great.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be that hard. But people make it harder by trying to rush the activity, by not planning, by not having warm towels, by not having everything in the room, by not taking it slow.
Slow and calm seems to be the idea behind a lot of it. Make sure you're comfortable. And
absolutely.
And who doesn't love a warm towel out of the dryer,
oh,
right?
Yeah, and especially if you threw a bounce in there and it smells good or downy or something like that, right? So I think people make it too hard. They try to rush it, and if you just use some strategies and techniques, you're going to get there, and you're going to be successful, right?
That's right.
That's what we're all about on this
show.
And
resilience.
That's right. Overcoming obstacles and adversity to find that positive outcome. Yeah, bathing without a battle. It's tough, but we can do it. We can do it, right? And don't forget, we'll have a podcast of this in weeks to come. If you forgot what I just said, I'll give you some clues at another time, right?
And we got all your old shows on the podcast as well, too. So
right.
If any of you listeners, you guys want to check up and check out some of the old shows, just go to cruising1430.com. Look for Dementia Resilience.
Yep.
And she's got all those old shows there for you.
Hey, that's right. Let's take a break and listen to a word from our sponsor.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, so we were just talking about bathing without a battle. In the spirit of the weekend, it's Memorial Weekend, I think a good reminder would be utilize something someone likes. I talked about maybe the lilac soap for ladies, bubbles in the bath if somebody likes bubbles. For gentlemen, get that Old Spice smell going in the bathroom. Make it smell good so it's nice. If somebody's really progressed with the disease and they've been in the military, maybe you could say, honey, the colonel's coming for an inspection in 15 minutes. We need to get you in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
It could work. It could work, right?
It could. I'd see it happening.
Try using the things that people like. Grandkids are coming over. We need to get freshened up. You know, whatever it is. Okay? So, moving on to the next subject. Over the weekend, or over this week, actually, there was a report that I saw on TV, and oftentimes I get questioned about things that pop up on the news, okay? And this one was a little bit disturbing, but what it was the U.S. Alzheimer's deaths, people with this disease, jumped 54%.
Wow.
More than they thought it was going to.
Wow. That's a,
how could the experts be so wrong, right?
That's a big difference.
Huge.
A couple percent difference.
Huge.
54%, you said?
Yeah, 54%.
Wow.
And that was from a study done from 1999 to 2014. It rose 54% higher, the deaths from this disease, than the NIH, National Institute of Health, thought it was going to. So that poses the question. Now they're saying from now until 2025, it's going to jump 8% more, 37% more in the next 8 years. 37% more in the next 8 years.
Wow.
And that's what they estimated 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So where's that number going to go now?
Right? Nowhere but up is what I'm thinking.
Right?
Yeah.
And more young people are being diagnosed now. That percentage went up 27% more than they thought it was going to.
Is that because they're getting better with the testing and finding it?
I think so.
Part of that might be it as well, too.
I think so.
But that's part of the solution and problem is detecting it earlier, right?
Right.
But wow.
I was really
that's
astounded
crazy.
By that. And I'm seeing more and more cases. People load all kinds of information on the internet, you know. But I'm seeing more and more cases of young people, 7 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old, getting this disease. I think what happened was they might have died from the disease quicker because they were younger, their metabolism stronger, what have you. And nobody really questioned, you know, why they died. It just was a mysterious death or something like that. They never dreamed it was some type of dementia like Alzheimer's or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with PET scans, MRIs, and all the different diagnostic testing they can do, I think they're seeing more and more because clinically they can discover
they're
and uncover it.
More advanced on
right.
every part of it.
Right. So I thought that was really interesting.
Wow, that is.
Yeah, that was released on Thursday, and I pondered that all day. That's a startling statistic.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a lot of people coping.
Right? Right? Yeah.
With this illness.
And wow. You know, people may not know this, but Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States.
Wow.
Isn't that something? Yeah, and it accounts for 3.6% of all deaths in 2014. Now, that's when this report came out, you know, when it was finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a long study. But they've long predicted that this would increase. I just don't think they had any idea it was going to be like that, right? Yeah.
That's a big jump.
Yeah. And now they're saying that people that pass the age of 65, they're going to nearly triple to 13.8 million people having this disease by 2050.
Wow.
I don't know what does.
That's almost shocking.
Right?
It is. It's shocking.
Write to your legislators. Write to your congressmen and your senators and write to the governor and say, we need more funding for research. If we don't find a cure, this is an epidemic. It's going to bankrupt our country, right?
Well, it's such a large population
of
people that are being affected. And
Right. And so what's surprising to me about this is that as this goes up and up and up, the help that you get goes down and down and down. You know, I'm one of the few people that really want to give people strategies and techniques. I wish there were more.
I wish there was more too. Like we need more people like you.
I want more people.
Well, we're gonna
call
need
me and
more
ask
people
for
like
help.
You.
Visit my website. I've got books. I've got information. Please go on there. If you need help with bathing, if you need help with your loved one being angry or what have you, I am so afraid people think they're alone.
What's that website that you have, Jill? It's
summitresiliencetraining.com.
That's right. Yep.
Exactly. And right here on this show, we've got podcasts. Please let people know that we've got this show and we're offering strategies and techniques, right? Yeah, we're gonna get to people one way or another, but it's really important. So not only is that an issue, but with the growing number, the care communities are getting more expensive, and people are not putting money away. That's an issue, you know, to care for their loved one. More people are caring for their loved one at home. They realize that 5.5 million adults in the United States, of them, 75% do not go to communities anymore. And it's because a lot of it is that they have task-centered care versus person-centered care. A lot of it is the cost. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's getting scarier and scarier. And on next week's show, I've got a couple of those communities who know how to work with people with this disease that are going to talk about what they're doing that's different. Maybe we can start a revolution in this country to get better care.
That's right. I bet you our sponsor is pretty good at that, too.
Oh, and she'll be here.
Oh, is that who we were talking about?
She'll be here, yeah.
All right. Bellevue Heights.
Bellevue Heights. I love them, yeah. So anyway, that's the numbers right now. That's the startling statistic.
It's a shocking number.
And it is true. People say, you know, is this false news? What is this on, you know? What is this?
But hopefully if we start addressing this now, we might be able to, you know, do something. Do something about it.
Right. But first we have to acknowledge it, right?
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we come back from our break, I want to address another thing I saw on the internet. And this was from a person who does the Scientific American blog. Her name is Hilda Bastian. And I kind of didn't like her blog. And we're going to talk about that.
Let's find out why.
All right.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you'll ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Bellevue Heights believes that supporting families and caregivers is just as important as caring for our residents. We offer free monthly support groups, education and lecture series, and presentations by experts in Alzheimer's and dementia care. All of our programs are free and open to the public. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. And ask about our current and upcoming education opportunities and support groups. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, so I was talking about the Scientific American blog, and I love Miss Hilda. I read her stuff. I try to read other people's information so I can see what's going on and what's true and what's not true that they're filtering out to people, you know? So in a blog that she just put out a couple weeks ago, she mentioned that she thought that smoking and people limiting their risk of getting Alzheimer's by what they eat and those myths that we see, you know, use that coconut oil and these different things. She thinks that would be valuable. Okay. So here's my thought on it. And it's okay to disagree with people. I like a lot of the things that she says.
It is.
But in this particular case, I want people to understand there is no cure. Please be upset about that. We need a cure. But you're not going to cure a disease with coconut oil, okay? You're not. I don't like people giving false hope, okay? One of the things that she said on her blog was that she thinks that 90% of people would want to know if they have this disease. And again, I think that's a real general statement, and it just made me think for a minute, you know? Because I could actually know if I were going to get this disease. My family's in a study. I've been offered the chance to find out, okay, through blood tests and three-day diagnostic testing and all that. And there's two sides to the coin. Do you want to know? Because maybe you could plan ahead and you could get your finances in order. You could get your will in order. Well, do that anyway. Right?
Should be done anyway.
It's just a good plan.
Yeah.
But for me, I feel like if I knew, and I'm speaking for myself only, that's what I want Hilda to do, is I want to be happy every day. I want to live like I might not have another. I don't want to be afraid of a progressive disease taking over my life. Right?
That's the other side of the coin. Yeah.
Yeah. And in her blog, she was saying that people that have a chance to know have a responsibility sort of to go and find out and do things to change the world. And I don't think you necessarily have to do that. I think you can change the world and be positive and continue to be resilient and show that you care and do things to be active and an activist and, you know, help out with this without having to maybe do that.
No, I agree.
You know what I mean?
It depends on, you know, is the glass half empty or half full?
Right.
Depends on who's looking at it, right?
Right.
And how they want to view that scenario.
Right. And she was saying, and this is what I do agree with on this. I really think this lady's pretty smart. And she writes great stuff. So I'll continue to look at it. You know, I think this is what stimulates conversation is when we maybe see something that we don't agree with or we do agree with. I think we should speak on both fronts, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So one of the things that she was saying is that when somebody is having memory loss and having trouble remembering just some basic things, should they go and get a mini mental? Should they get a status exam, you know? Yeah, if you're worried about it, sure. If you want to have a plan to start moving forward, sure. I would not discourage anybody from wanting to know if they want to know. I wouldn't discourage families from wanting to find out if their loved one has memory loss, right? The question is, what are you going to do with it afterwards? Are you going to try to be proactive with it? Are you going to work with it, right? Yeah. So those mini mentals can help with that. And you just go in and answer some basic questions. What's your name? Who are you? Can you count back from 100 by 7? Right? Remember a couple words that I'm going to tell you. I'm going to ask you to repeat them in a few minutes. Draw a few diagrams on a piece of paper. And then they're weighted. The answers are weighted. And you have to score 30 points. And you deduct from 30 from every question that you miss or do incorrectly.
Right? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a red flag warning, you know?
Yeah.
So back to the question, do you want to know or not want to know? It's a personal choice. That was my issue with that particular report, was just because I think people need to decide for themselves. I think everybody should plan ahead and try to get your information ready and look to see what you can do to work with this disease and live with it, not struggle with it. That's what I want for our listeners. I want them to live with it, not struggle with it, and see that person and have compassion, see them for who they are, see them for who they're turning into, and remember who they were, you know? Yeah, it's a long disease, unfortunately, and I think... we have plenty of time to figure all those things out.
The sooner the better, but we've got time, yeah.
But with the numbers going up, you know, so yeah. I promised from the beginning, and you say it in the opening segment, I want this to be a candid conversation. So when people see these reports and they have questions about them, I want to be able to address them and talk about them with our listeners and see what they think, you know what I mean? So, yeah, write to me. Tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go on
email,
my blog.
Address, get a website.
Absolutely. I've got a blog now. I've got a blog right next to my radio podcast that you can listen to when you want to on summitresiliencetraining.com. And you can find me. Tell me what you think. I want to know. If you've got questions, if you read something and it doesn't ring true to you, if it seems like it's false media, or if it seems valid, or if you just want to know how you proceed, how do you get into a clinical trial? How do I get my mom to bathe? How do I get my dad to stop throwing things? How do I talk to my doctor about what's going on in my house? What do the medications do? Are they effective? All those kinds of things are important questions. And I want all this to be circular. I want the radio show. I want my blog. I want my website and all the information we're giving to be there for people. So if you are a listener and you know somebody that's struggling with this disease, we can help you live with it. Struggling's not in my portfolio. No, 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 no. That's why we call it resilience, right? So anyway, next week I am going to have the executive directors from Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center.
Yay!
Springwood, which is up in Arvada, which is Nightingale Lane. Terrific, terrific community. Doing it great. Has a 30-person waiting list. They're doing such a good job. And then also Spring Ridge at 26th and Sheridan. I'm going to celebrate these communities who have put their love and their care and their compassion into their residents, are not working with medications. They are working with just strategies and techniques with this disease. And I'm going to share some love with those folks.
That sounds fun.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So I hope everybody has a great weekend. Remember, Memorial Day is remembering the people who have died for our country in the military and given us our freedom. Independence Day is celebrating the people that wrote the Constitution and freed us from Britain, right? And made us the country we are. And Veterans Day in November is about the people who are currently serving. So let's keep those straight. It's not just about the barbecue. right?
That's right.
It's about celebrating the people that keep us safe and keep our borders safe. And we appreciate all you veterans out there. We appreciate you to the ends of the earth, the moon, and back. Love you all. And let us know if you need us, okay? This is Jill Lorenz with Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, and I'll see you next week.
Been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.